Amen. It's good to be with you all this morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate your Pastor Richard giving me the opportunity to stand and share with you today. Kathy, when Brother Mike was talking about that song, she leaned over and said, "Does he know what you're preaching on?" I said, "No, but God does. God does, because we're going to talk about that very joy and contentment that God has given us today. So just keep that in your mind. Glad to have my wife. I appreciate her. She didn't marry a preacher, but she's been a good preacher's wife, and we've been together almost 49 years. So, and almost 40 of that's been in the ministry. So God is blessed. Glad to have my granddaughter Annalise with me with us this morning also. Just appreciate the privilege to serve. Appreciate the privilege to serve as your missionary. God continues to bless, and we're continuing to see souls saved, and that's what it's all about. Matter of fact, today is our quarterly executive committee meeting, so I was going over the numbers, just getting a report together, and I believe there's been 29 people saved since the first of the year through the food ministries, through the medical clinics, through the counseling ministry, and through the dental ministry that y'all have through your association. And if you've never been up there, I invite you to come. I know the office is in Blue Ridge, but y'all have been so faithful to support that. And God is just doing some great things through that ministry and through all of the ministries that we have, reaching out and touching the lives of others. So that's what it's all about, laying up treasures in heaven. And one day in heaven, somebody's going to come to you and say, "Thank you for giving to the Lord, because you gave, I came to know the Lord as my Savior." And you won't even know them, but God knows. And God knows your prayers, and God knows your giving and your faithfulness, and that's just going to continue to go on. I love getting to share this passage of Scripture, and like I said, Brother Mike's already set the tone for this message about the hope and the peace and the joy that God gives us. And we'll ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 11 through 13. A very familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure, to all of us. And if you'll stand to reverence God's Word, we'll read these first three verses. Philippians 4, beginning with verse 11. Paul speaking, "Not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Because, and here's the key, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." May we pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this day and for this privilege to worship You again this morning. We pray, Father, for every individual that is here today, that You would just meet our needs, dear Heavenly Father, and not let anything steal the joy that we have in our lives. We know, Lord, that You've come that we might not only have life, but have it more abundantly. But the devil, the old thief, he's come to steal and kill and destroy. And we come to You today in the name of Jesus and ask that You would help us, Father, to learn about You and to draw closer to You, Father, during this time, that we may leave this place, Lord, with a confidence in who Jesus Christ is in our lives. And Father, if there's one here that does not know You personally, that this would be the day that they come to receive You as their Savior. And those of us that do know You, that we just live that victorious life that You've saved us to live and to enjoy right here and now. And Father, for a wonderful hope in eternity with You. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Contentment. Paul says, "I've learned in every state that I am, therewith can be content." And that, we could translate that word happy, but I think it's so much greater than that. But a joy. We have joy that we sang about in the song. There's a peace. I think we could that definition into that verse. I've learned in every state I am to have joy. I've learned peace. I've learned contentment. I've learned happiness in every state that I'm in. And I want you to notice that Paul didn't say it was just automatic. It was something that he had learned. It was something that was a process in his life, and so it is with every one of us. We're learning more and more and more how we can be confident in Jesus Christ. how He's always there for us, and He's always there with us, and He's always able to lead us through every circumstance and situation. And so I guess the question I would ask all of us today, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough for us in our daily life? Or are we looking for something more to bring that joy and peace and contentment that Paul was talking about? Paul said, I've learned in every state. And it's a relationship, really. He said, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm full, whether I'm rich or whether I'm poor, whether I'm sick or whether I'm in health, I've learned to be content. I've learned to have this joy because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what he's talking about here is not a circumstance or a situation, but he's talking about a relationship with a risen Savior. He's talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that grew stronger and stronger and stronger every day. He had learned that in every circumstance and situation that he found himself in, that Jesus was faithful. That Jesus was constant. That Jesus was always there, and he had learned that he could depend upon him. And that's what we learn as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. As we come to know him as our Savior, and we can sing, praise God, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So we can sing that with confidence. But it's only through the testing times of our life that we can learn that Jesus is faithful. That Jesus is always there. And so life is just a teaching time for us to learn that Jesus is faithful. And that nothing can steal our joy as long as He's enough in our life. As long as we keep our eyes upon Him, nothing else is going to steal that joy. Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's what Paul had learned in his relationship with the Lord. That's what Paul had experienced in his confidence in the fact that Jesus was always there. And so, yes, Paul could say, Jesus is enough. No matter what I'm going through, I have a joy. I have a peace. I have a contentment. I'm satisfied with Jesus because He's always faithful to me. Now, you may be sitting there and saying, well, Claude, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know my life, and you don't know where I live or what I have to deal with at school, or you don't know what I have to deal with at work. Well, let's just look at the Apostle Paul and some of the things that he went through for just a few moments. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's just listen. Now, remember, this is the man that said, I've learned to be content in every situation I find myself in. And so listen to some of the struggles that Paul went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, or chapter 11, we'll begin reading with verse 22. And listen carefully to what Paul is saying. And these are his words. Are there Hebrews? So am I. Are there Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? Speak I as a fool, I am more. In labors, now listen to this, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice, three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides all these things that are without, that which cometh on me daily, the care of all the churches. Did you hear that? Did you hear the suffering that Paul... And listen, Paul wasn't a superhuman. Paul was just a man just like you and me. But he knew Jesus Christ. And he knew Jesus was faithful. And so though he was beaten, he was stoned to death, drug outside of the city, left for dead, He was cast into prison so many times, all for the cause of Jesus Christ. Shipwrecked, and even when he was shipwrecked, he was bitten by a snake. And all this suffering, all this pain, all this agony, and yet this man could say, I've learned to be content. I've learned to find happiness. I've learned to find joy. I've learned to find contentment. I'm at peace in every circumstance and situation that I find myself in. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Listen, some of you young people are probably going suffering bullying at school. I don't doubt it a bit. There's a lot of that that's going on. Some of you workers at work may be the butt of someone's jokes. You know, I don't know. If you're living a Christian life, you probably are. But learn from the Apostle Paul. Learn from Jesus. Jesus is enough. And if we find our peace and our contentment and our joy in Him, there's nothing. No matter how many bullies, no matter how many jokes are told about us, we're still faithful. And Jesus is faithful to us. Jesus is enough. He's all we need. And if we find our joy and our happiness in Him, oh, it doesn't mean we're not going to still face the persecution, just like Paul did. It doesn't mean that God's going to take us out of our circumstances, but praise God, He'll go with us through them. He's there. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We have that in Jesus Christ who loves us and cares about us and wants us to find joy in Him, peace in Him, contentment in Him. Praise God that He is enough and that He is all that we need. God, help us to learn that He's faithful. Now, I know you young people, maybe you haven't known Jesus for that long. But some of us, we've known Jesus for a long time. And can't we testify that Jesus is enough? That no matter what circumstance that we go through, that Jesus is faithful to see us through? And that's how we learn. That's how we learn that Jesus is faithful. When we go through struggles and we say, Lord, you know, I just need Your peace. Lord, I need Your presence in my life. Praise God, He's just as close as the mention of His name, young people. He loves you and He cares about you, old person. I'm one of you, so don't get mad at calling me old. You know, none of us getting any younger. So suffering, yes, He's faithful, and Paul could say that. There's nothing going to steal my joy because my hope is in Jesus Christ. He is enough for me. And you may say, well, what about sickness, Claude? Well, just flip over one page or one chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, you know, had a wonderful vision. He had been taken up into third heaven. And he said, unless I should be exalted above measure, in the sixth verse, for though I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I shall say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and should I be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation that was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it would depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, then most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmity, in my sickness, in my reproaches, in my necessities, in my persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What's your thorn in the flesh today? What is Satan trying to steal your joy with in your life today? What is it that Satan has thrown at you? Paul, you know, God allowed Paul to have this thorn in the flesh. We're not sure what it is. Some said it may be poor eyesight. Some it said it was just the persecution of the saints around about him. Some said he had had a wife. Now, I don't think Paul was ever married. But anyway, I thought somebody would get that in a few minutes. Anyway, We're not sure what that thorn was. We're not sure why he was suffering, and he didn't like it. Just like we don't like it when we get sick, when we have to suffer. And so he prayed. He said, Lord, remove this thorn. I don't like it. Lord, heal me. Bring deliverance. And God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for every one of us. Paul says, therefore, I'll glory in my infirmity. I'll be content in my sickness. I'll find joy in my relationship with the Lord because even in my sickness, guess what? Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. He said, when I am weak, that's when I'm strong because Jesus is in my heart and in my life and He's bringing me this joy and this peace and contentment. Is Jesus enough for you today? Or are you letting your circumstances and your situation rob you of your joy? Jesus is enough. He is, and we can find that His grace is sufficient for every one of us and all of our needs, no matter what they are, even in death. It was the Apostle Paul who said, to live is Christ, but to die is what? Gain. Do you believe that? I do. Kathy gets mad at me because I'm ready to go whenever the Lord's ready for me. If He wants to take me today, praise the Lord. I'm ready. And I'm looking forward to where I'm going because the Bible says, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that call upon Him and wait upon Him and look to Him and love Him. Death is a victory for the child of God. And I want to stay here as long as He can use me, but praise God when He's through with me. Take me home to be with you. I'm looking forward to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. I believe the book. When my dad died, I told Mama I believe the book, and she said I do too. When my mama died, I still believe the book, and I believe, my mama and dad are in heaven. I haven't lost them. They're just waiting for me, and I'm going to go be with them before too long. Death has no power over a child of God. It's just a promotion into the eternal. It's just a promotion into the presence of God and where there's no more sin and no more sorrow and no more crying and no more dying and no more suffering. Praise God. It's a wonderful place. And no wonder Paul could say, I can do all things. Jesus is enough. He's all that I need. Now, in closing, how do you get this? How is this possible? Is this, Paul, like I said, he was just a human, just like you and I. So how did he attain this relationship with Jesus? How did he learn that Jesus was able to meet every need and that he could do all things through Christ who strengthens him? It's not just a cliche, but it was something that he had learned, something that he had grown in his relationship with the Lord. Well, it begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to know that you know that you're saved. You'll never have this relationship. You'll never have this joy. You'll never have this peace. Jesus will never be enough if you don't know Him personally. There on the Damascus Road, Jesus met Saul, we knew him then, who was persecuting the church. And he had an experience there with Jesus on the Damascus Road. There was a bright light and there was a voice and he told him to go down to Damascus and a man by the name of Ananias would come and talk to him and he was blinded until Ananias spoke to him and the scales fell off his eyes. Now, I don't know when he was saved, while he was there on the road or while he was in the house. I don't know, but praise God, he had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Have you? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know that you know that you're saved? And if you do know that you're saved, you know where you got saved. Just like Saul did on the Damascus Road, he had an experience with Jesus Christ. A bright light went off and he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. When did that happen in your life? As a 9-year-old boy, it was like a light. As I reflect back on it, it was like a light went off in my mind. the Holy Spirit. I understand now. I didn't fully understand it then. Don't fully understand it today. But on that day, I was convicted of my sin. I could sing Jesus Loves Me with the best, but I didn't know why Jesus loved me until that day as a 9-year-old boy when I was convicted that if I died, that day I'd spend eternity in hell. That I was separated from God and He wanted a relationship with me and Jesus Christ loved me. And I knelt on my knees in the altar and I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior. And He did. Almost 60 years ago, Jesus Christ saved my soul. And He's never let me down. I've let Him down plenty of times. But I, like the Apostle Paul, I've learned that Jesus is faithful to His Word. As we studied in Sunday school this morning, God cannot lie. And He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has that experience happened in your life? Do you remember the time? You might, or at least the place, you might not remember the exact time, but praise God, if you've been saved, you'll remember the place where God saved you by His amazing grace. Most important thing that ever happened in your life. Amen? The second most important thing is, those of you who are married, is when you married your wife. And I guarantee you, you hadn't forgot where that happened, have you? So, if you've been saved, you know when it happened. And if you haven't, then today's a good time to give your heart to Jesus. Second thing that we could talk about is that we were obedient to the Holy Spirit. First thing is being saved. Second thing is being obedient to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, sometimes Baptists don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit because somebody might think we're getting too religious or too emotional, but the Holy Spirit's a reality, folks. At the moment we're saved, He takes up abode in our lives. He's living within us today if we've truly been saved. And that still small voice that we hear that convicts us of our sins and guides us along the way that we ought to go, we need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. How many times have I stood at the back door of the church and a person has come out and said, I felt like shouting today. Or I felt like I should have testified today. I felt like I should have sung a song today. Well, why don't you? If God, that's God's Spirit dealing with your heart. And you ought to be obedient to the Spirit of God. If you go and read in Acts 16, and I'll not take the time to go there, but we find Paul as he was on a missionary journey and he wanted to go down to Mysia and preach the gospel and the Spirit forbade him. I don't know how the Spirit told him not to go, but he clearly says the Spirit forbade him to go. And so he said, well, I'll go down to Asia and preach there. And again, the Spirit said no. And then he went to Philippi and began the church in that we read about in Philippians. The Spirit is real in our lives today. If we have not the Spirit, we're none of His. And if we have the Spirit, we ought to be obedient unto Him just like Paul was. God help us to be obedient to the Spirit's leadership this morning. If you're lost and never been saved, that's that quickening spirit that you realize that, like I did as a 9-year-old boy, that, hey, I'm lost. If I died right now, I'd spend eternity in hell. And I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. If you're letting the devil steal your joy, then you know there's relief in Jesus Christ. All you have to do is call upon Him like Paul did, and you'll find that His grace is sufficient for you if you'll just bring your problems and cares to Him this morning. So we see to learn what Paul is talking about here, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I can be content and find that joy. I need to be saved, and I need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, and I need to be faithful in witnessing. And again, if you read in Acts chapter 16, Paul went down to the river. When he got there, he couldn't find a synagogue because there wasn't 10 Jewish males there in the city of Philippi to have a synagogue. So he went down to the river and he found some women that were praying and worshiping the Lord, God fears. And he witnessed to them and told them about this man by the name of Jesus. And there we have Lydia, came to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior, as Paul was sharing with them. And that's what you and I need to do. If we know Jesus Christ and we have this contentment and peace in Him and we've learned Him, and that's how we learn Him in His faithfulness, we share Jesus with others. And then our worship and our prayer time ought to be key if we're going to learn about Jesus Christ. Is your worship time, when you come to church on Sunday morning, is that the only time you worship, or do you worship during the week? Do you spend time with the Lord daily? Are you spending time in His Word? Are you spending time praying? Paul, if you go on and read in Acts chapter 16, and I encourage you to go read this when you get home this afternoon, but there you'll find Paul and Silas were unjustly, by doing a good deed, thrown into jail. They first were beaten. They were beaten and then tucked into the very dark depths of the prison, and they were, their hands and their feet were put in stocks, and they, you know, they were in there and they were whining and crying and saying, Lord, this ain't fair, and call us a lawyer, we need to get out of here. No, what were they doing? Amen. They were worshiping the Lord. They just suffered all of this shame and all of this ill will toward them, and yet they found their joy. Christ was enough. They could do all things through Christ who strengthened them. And there in the prison, they were singing praises to God and praying. And God sent an earthquake and the doors of the prison. You know the story. The doors were broken open, and the prison guard took his knife, was going to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. We're all still here. And it was an opportunity to lead that prison guard to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, when our worship is what it ought to be, not just here on Sunday morning, but you know, in good times and bad times, we call upon the Lord. Jesus is enough. And whether I've been beaten, Paul said, whether I've been snake bit, whether I'm suffering persecution, Jesus is enough. And I want others to see Jesus in me. Oh, church family, that we would live that life before a lost and dying world. That they could see that in our times of struggle, and we're going to have them, in our times of suffering, we're going to have them. In the times that we're bullied, and we're going to have them. That we have our eyes on Jesus, and we have a relationship with Him, and Jesus is enough. There ain't nothing, as we sang in the song, going to steal my joy. Because I know Jesus, and Jesus lives within me, and I give Him my heart and soul every day. I want Him to have His will and way in my life. I pray that's your desire. And I pray that you can say with all your heart, Jesus is enough. I know Him personally. I'm trying to serve Him and honor Him with my life. You'll grow stronger. Nothing can take the joy and the peace and the happiness. Oh, you'll go through trials. You'll go through struggles. You'll lose loved ones. But there's a deep peace down inside our soul that nothing or no one can steal away from us. There's a joy, even in the midst of the sorrow, that we can worship and serve the Lord, and that others can see Jesus in our lives. If you don't know Him today, come and I'll pray with you, pray for you. But it just takes that step of faith, as I did as a 9-year-old boy when I walked down the aisle and I gave my heart to Jesus. If you've been going through a circumstance or a situation and the devil's been trying to steal your joy, your peace, your contentment, I'd be glad to pray for you, pray with you. Just come and say, Lord, I'm tired of letting the devil have his way. And today I'm just going to put my eyes on Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because You've been faithful in the past, Lord. I know You will today as well. Just let God have His way in this time of decision this morning. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You for the hope that is ours and for the victory that is ours as children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, we face struggles, we face challenges. We face things that just seem like they're going to overcome us. But we know that You're faithful. We're learning, Lord, that You're always there, that You've never left us, that You love us and care about us. And God, that we can have a deep-seated joy and peace and victory in our lives. Though the devil tries to steal it away, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So help us to learn today, whether it's through salvation, that beginning step, or whether it's just to rededicate our lives, or whether it's just to bring that burden to You and leave it here at this altar today. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.